afternoon, and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Trenton, and we've got another full show on hand for you today as Northwest Missouri State Athletics, despite being over the Christmas holiday, had some things that we want to talk about here today, and now indoor track and field gearing up again for a lot of activities coming up here in the next few weeks as well. So a lot going on, in particular men's and women's basketball. I met the Northwest men's and women's basketball team over the weekend, and last night had some good games and some good wins for both teams.
Yeah, for sure. You look back at how Northwest Missouri State has fared thus far here through the first, wrapping up 2022 and opening up 2023. A nice 4-0 MIAA weekend, taking it down Northeastern State on Saturday, coming back last night. A little Monday night basketball action inside Bearcat Arena, taking down Rogers State. And, both teams kind of coming out of it, out of the break. Of course, the men also took on Clark a day or two before that game on the 31st. But, both teams kind of getting in there and seeing a little bit of adversity early in those games, but then battling back and fighting through there. The women trailing at halftime of both of their games, but really strong third and fourth quarters to come out with some solid wins, a 12-point victory over Northeastern, a 3-point win over Rogers. Then you think about, the men's team last night, down 7-0 before they really broke things open. They were trailing to Northeastern before a 20-0 run really propelled them forward in that basketball game too. So you love to see the wins in the win column, but also battling through. Things aren't always going to go your way, and both of these teams fighting through and finding a way to get it done in the end. So I think good things ahead for both of these teams as we do really get this MIAA season kickstarted full go.
And one of the things with the two teams that Northwest played on the men's side with Northeastern State and Rogers, both I think are much improved over what they have been in the past couple of years, and in particular for Northeastern State, I think they've got some good things ahead for them. And then this Rogers State team continues to be one of the more physical teams in the MIAA. Northwest handled that physicality very well last night.
Yeah, they did. Both teams have athletes. They've got shooters out there. Really impressed with looking at what Rogers State did put out there and the way they came out, especially played in that first half and battled hard. Northwest at a 12-point lead at the break. But the way Rogers was playing, he kind of thought, boy, they should probably be a little higher in the MIAA standings. Kind of goes to show what a grind this league actually is. But, yeah, Northwest weathered the storm there early, knocked down some shots, battled that physicality, and really embraced it from Rogers State, got to the free throw line, and were really very good at the line throughout the night. Over 20 times getting to the free throw line, made a high percentage there. And so definitely a positive. If you're making free throws, you're going to win a lot of basketball games, especially the way Northwest has got there these first couple games coming out of the break in the MIAA. So they embrace the physicality on that side. They knocked down a lot of shots and really have things going.
You look at this particular point in the season, 13-1 overall, 6-1 in MIAA play. Of course, coming off a national championship a year ago, but they lost Trevor Hudgens, which was a key to the success of the last several years, but they brought in Bennett Sturtz, and he hasn't really missed a beat as far as what he's done coming in as a true freshman, to where it just seems like this team keeps on rolling no matter who's in the lineup here, that Coach Ben McCollum and his staff finds a way to continue the winning tradition.
Yeah, it's really impressive the way everybody's kind of taken to, all right, we don't have Trevor here, we're not going to allow that to really deter us from what we have going on. And Bennett's really stepped in and embraced it as a true freshman. Didn't have a chance to kind of sit down on the bench and kind of get a feel for what this culture is. He was thrown right in, similar to the way one of the other starting guards, Diego Bernard, dealt with too. Played as a true freshman, of course, went on to win a national championship there as a true freshman in 2019. But Bennett's been fantastic to this point. One thing we were talking about before going on, a tweet from the men's basketball account, stats coming here from Colin McDonough. Northwest has three of the top five leaders in field goal percentage in the MIAA. Typically, you feel like that's something reserved for a lot of big guys, post players, 6'8", 6'9", catching on the block, going up, layup off the glass, shooting over 60%. Bennett Sturtz leads the MIAA in shooting percentage at 63.6% as a true freshman. Right behind him, Diego Bernard, 60.6%. Fifth is Luke Waters at 52.8%. I mean, these are guys that are getting to the rim, but also stepping out, shooting a lot of shots from beyond the perimeter, leading the MIAA in field goal percentage. That just says a lot about great shot selection, first of all, but also the work that these guys are putting in away from the games of, all right, we're getting these shots up on our own, and then just credit everyone for finding the open players and making that extra pass to where you are getting that great shot attempt over just a good one.
And Sturt's also leading the team in minutes played. He also has had a steal in every game he's played so far. And I think coming in, the thought would be that the offense is probably going to be there for him, but it might take a while to adapt defensively to what Coach McCollum wants out of their defensive schemes. But he's found a way to just come in and really feel at home in the Bearcat lineup. And, well, he got another steal last night, a couple steals, I think, overall. But he's just doing about everything you would want out of a newcomer into this program.
Oh, for sure. You know what? If he was a guy that just wanted to come out and score 25 points per game, he would find a way to get on the floor. But if he's not playing that high level of defense that Coach Mack wants, he probably wouldn't be seeing nearly as many minutes. We've seen guys that are pretty talented come through, and until they really get a feel for how they're supposed to play unselfish defensively, they're just not getting many minutes. Well, Bennett's really stepped in here and played really well and went from, all right, he's getting a lot of minutes off the bench to where now he's starting. And, boy, we joked during the broadcast last night. He only played 31 minutes. It probably felt like a kind of a relaxed evening for him because he's so used to going 38, 39, 40 minutes in a basketball game. So he's been fun to watch. And, again, to this point, we're still early in his career, early in the season. But nothing seems to get under his skin. He doesn't seem to waver. You know, even that loss to Emporia State, he kept coming out firing. You never really saw his facial expression change of getting up or down, just kind of, he's just been it out there. And so I think Bearcat fans are going to enjoy watching that, obviously, the rest of this season, but years to come.
Northwest women's basketball team, I'm sure, would like to have a much better record than what it has right now, but they just open up with a brutal, I mean, brutal conference season with some of the top teams in the MIAA that also are some of the top teams in the nation as well. They came into this particular weekend with Northeastern State and Rogers that really looked on paper like be winnable games, and it turned out to be the case for the Northwest women. They just found a way to get it out and pick up a couple of good wins.
That's right. You know, what, 3 of 4 now, going back to that non-conference game on December 13th against McKendree. The lone loss mixed in there was at Emporia State, 64-56. Didn't play their best, but it was still a tight game. Didn't have Evelyn Vasquez. She was banged up, didn't play in that one. But Evelyn was back these last two basketball games, and Northwest found a way to get it done. Trailing at halftime in both of those, like I mentioned, the Northeastern State one, you know, they go into half, got to put back at the buzzer. The Riverhawks felt pretty good about themselves in Northwest. That's fine. Came back out, brought their lunch pail, came away with a 67-55 win. And, you know, for as ugly as last night was at times, you know, shots just weren't falling at all. And Coach Meyer kind of talked with us at halftime of the men's game of, boy, we're getting good looks. We're getting some layups. We're just not getting them to drop down. One of 13 from the field in the first quarter alone. But credit this team again in the third and fourth quarters. They came out, put up 35 points in the second half alone. They were 12 of 25 from the field. They knocked down free throws when they had those opportunities. Getting contributions from different players, too. Lindsay Kelderman came off the bench and played well for Northwest. We're also seeing Ella Moody get into the starting lineup. And, you know, again, not scoring a ton, but she's finding ways to be effective, especially on the defensive end. And so, you know what, it's slowly coming together. The offensive numbers aren't quite where the Bearcats want them to be, but if they keep putting in the work, you feel like, boy, they're going to break out here.
You know, and the thing that they could very easily let happen is with the shots not falling is to let up on defense or to let up on the hustle, going for the loose balls and doing a lot of things that help win basketball games. But they're still out there doing everything else just as hard as you would like them to do, and that's probably the main reason they were able to pick up a couple of wins over the weekend.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. Missing shots creates more rebound opportunities, and you know what? They blew Roger State out of the water offensive rebound-wise. Kelsey Fields has done a great job on the glass, and yeah, 50-50 balls, they are going all out trying to get them. So, yeah, the work is there. They're not letting up, and so you hope that kind of carries over. Now, this Saturday will be very tough, Missouri Western. They can put up points in a hurry. They're awfully good. They like to run and gun. So we'll see how Northwest handles that, if they can slow the Griffins down. But the Bearcats have won 3 of the last 4 meetings with the Griffs. You'd love to see that continue.
Now, as far as indoor track goes, the Northwest indoor track and field team opened up their competition here a couple weeks ago, competing in the Mel Churchma Invitational at the Hughes Fieldhouse on the Northwest campus. And it's kind of like a situation, hurry up and wait to get that one out of the way. Then all of a sudden, here comes the Christmas break time. So they haven't had an opportunity to compete much, except you look ahead toward January 13th and 14th. They're trying to gear up for the Graduate Classic at UNL in Lincoln. And then on the 21st, they'll be back home for the Northwest Open. So they've got a lot of things that they'll be working on. We'll hear from Brandon Masters and Tiffany Huey coming up a little bit later about that. But, again, indoor track underway here.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right. It's kind of one of those of like, all right, let's rip the Band-Aid off. We get the first meet out of the way. Then it's, all right, holiday break. We're going to wait until January to get that next one. And so I think it's the 13th and 14th be up in Nebraska for those. But, you know, the beauty of the Hughes Fieldhouse, being able to have three, your first four meets here at home on a track you know, able to pound out some really good times, which, you know, Tiffany's already done with the Division II provisional qualifying time in the 400 meter. Allie Heyman's also put up those, the 60 meter hurdles and 60 meter dash. And you just expect this team to continue to churn out good times, build up some confidence before they do go off and hopefully have a chance to go out and compete for national championships. But I think it's going to be an exciting time. I think Coach Masters is excited. He's got some athletes on the men's side and a women's team that's awfully deep.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot coming up for you right after this timeout from Pizza Ranch.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Pizza Ranch here in Maryville, talking Northwest Missouri State Bearcat women's basketball, being joined by guard Molly Hartnett as well as forward Kelsey Fields. The Bearcats coming up with a pair of wins over the weekend, knocking off Northeastern State and Rogers State. Appreciate you two coming in and chatting with us here. And first, Molly, chance to kind of get back out there after the holiday break, a lot of practices. What did that feel like to rip the Band-Aid off and just get back to playing basketball?
Yeah, it felt good to get back out there. Obviously, with the long break, it was tough not being able to get out on the floor and play and compete and get wins. But I thought we played really well over this weekend, and I think we had one step, and we made one step further, and hopefully we can keep our win streak going.
Kelsey, what do you take away from it, seeing Northwest come out and take down Northeastern and Rogers, get a couple home games back, and now a chance to a couple days to get yourself ready now for Missouri Western?
Like Molly said, I think it was a really good step forward for us coming out of break and not giving in to either of those teams, which we easily could have done, but playing hard and working at what the things we worked on over break.
So every game you love to come out, just play a perfect game, cruise to a 20-point win, just everything go easy, but it just doesn't always work that way in sports. Battle adversity in both of these basketball games. You're trailing at a half in both of them. You come back with strong second halves. Is that one thing? I'm sure Coach Meyer would like to see a perfect first and second quarter. But at least, hey, we're finishing strong. We're battling through some tough teams late.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to start better, come out of the gate a little better, more competitive. I feel like we've had our struggles in the first half, but halftime and coming out stronger in the second half has really helped us in these past two games.
What is Coach Meyer's demeanor at halftime, regardless what the score is? I mean, is he pretty much the same guy, regardless of what the game is who you're playing?
Yeah, he definitely is. He makes sure that we know that whether we're winning or losing, we have to come out in that third quarter and make sure that we give it to him and make sure that we are still playing whether we're down or we're up.
So we go back to last night's basketball game, and shots through the first couple of quarters, just not wanting to fall, still getting after it. And John kind of talked about it during the game in here in the coach's show early, but regardless of how the offensive end looks, the intensity defensively is still there. I mean, he's still getting stopped, still playing well. How much of that is like a conscious thing of we know what just happened on that last series, but we have to wipe it away and be ready for this next time down the floor?
Yeah, we focus a lot on next play mentality. Even if our shots aren't falling, we still have to do what we know how to do on the defensive end and get stops and try and keep it close even if our shots aren't falling. Obviously, last night we got great shots all around the rim. They just weren't falling for us. But we continued to battle on the defensive end, which really helped save us.
So you both had big games against Northeastern specifically. Molly, you go for 18 in the first half of your 24 points and really kind of carried Northwest. All right, we got us to halftime, and then everybody else kind of stepped up, and Northwest went on to get that victory. Do you just feel like you're in the zone early in that game? The first shot falls, and you're like, it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, it feels good to see the first one go down, and then it automatically makes your confidence go up. But I felt like we were struggling to score offensively, so my teammates found me in good spots, and I was able to knock down some shots and keep it close for the first half. But after halftime, lots of girls stepped up, which was awesome to see.
You look like at some points you kind of get into a certain zone within a basketball game. I think there was even one point that maybe, whether it was a shot that kind of came off weird or something happened, and you had already had like 10 points at that point. You kind of gave a smile, shrugged your shoulders, went back, and you're right back into it. Is it just kind of certain games you kind of feel like, you know, I kind of feel invincible and I'm going to do what I want in this game?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, obviously, confidence is a big thing. So I think just honestly seeing the shots fall is really gets me going. And I feel like it brings energy to everyone else, like just knowing that shots are falling, we are going to keep going and keep doing what we know how to do to build towards that win.
Kelsey, for you, a double-double against Rogers or against Northeastern, excuse me. You go for 15 rebounds, which is a new career high. Currently sitting second in the MIAA with 9.5 rebounds per game. We talk so much about guards getting into a zone of knocking down some shots from the outside and getting on a roll. Do you kind of feel that, too, of I own the paint at this point? Any ball that comes off, I'm going to pull it in.
Yeah, that's one of my main goals is just to make sure, especially on the offensive end, when shots aren't falling, just to get us a second chance and in an offensive rebound. And then on the defensive end, not letting anyone get any offensive rebounds on the other team is one of my goals. So,
well, 5 steals combined from the last 2 games, too. Is that something that's been discussed, too, of getting up the passing lane, not making those entry passes quite as easy for guards?
Yeah, we've really been focusing on post defense and making sure that we don't let them catch it easy in the paint, because that's when they score, is when they're already posted up. So we've been focusing on being up the line and making those passes into the post a lot harder. And then when they do catch, making sure that they're still having to work and to get buckets. So just making sure that I'm up the line. And I mean, it helped too when the guards are also denying the ball. And it's just kind of a combination of both things.
Everything bouncing off each other and carrying on for Northwest. The Bearcats pick up a couple wins over the weekend over Rogers State and Northeastern State. Now 7-6 overall, 2-5 in the MIAA. A rivalry game coming up this weekend with Missouri Western coming to Maryville. It's a 1:30 tip-off for the women. The Bearcats have won 3 of the last 4 meetings with the Griffins. And the first one, going back to this little run the Bearcats have had, Molly, you got a buzzer beater in St. Joseph back in December of 2020. When you play the Griffins, what's this one mean to you? You've had a few more games under your belt with Missouri Western.
Yeah, definitely my favorite game of the year, obviously a big rivalry. So I know that we need to come out with everything we got to win. I don't want to let them beat us at our place, so I'm hoping everybody's ready, and we'll have lots of getting ready this week. We have 3 days of practice and getting ready and getting used to what they do, their scout, like different personnel. So I think we'll really be prepared for this game.
Now, you're a player that grew up in the region down the road in Kansas there in Overland Park, if my notes are correct. So you're not far from St. Joseph. You're not far from Maryville either. Do you have a pretty good read of who Missouri Western was when you were coming to Northwest and maybe some crossover recruitment there too?
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of girls there that I've seen in AAU or high school. So I know like what they do. It all comes down to how we play and what we know how to do to get that win.
And Kelsey, this is a team that wants to run and get up and down. They've got a couple of guards that lead them in scoring with Connie Clark and Brianna Budgets. And after that, it kind of drops off. A lot of different players kind of step up depending on the basketball game. For a post player, for you, having to chase down some guards occasionally and get up and down like that, is that something you kind of look forward to in a game like this? Or you want, all right, let's just slow this sucker down and just take them out of their element?
Yeah, I think especially offensively, being able to post up on some smaller posts and guards, it helps our team. And then defensively, just making sure that we're in front of the ball, especially when I am guarding someone smaller, just making sure that I'm, even though it's not what I'm used to, but still playing defensively.
Northwest taking on Missouri Western this upcoming weekend against Northeastern and Rogers. You guys broke out the gray alternate uniforms. That was the first time all year, right?
Yep.
So is this something that, all right, 2-0, we got to keep rolling with those, right?
For sure.
Has that discussion been had yet?
No, but I'll decide for everyone.
I think we just kind of know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the other day, you came out in the grays and Kaylee came out in the whites, and so just kind of pulled the string and said, hey, we got to go with what works, right?
Yep, for sure. Yep, can't go back once we're on the streak.
The Bearcats taking on the Griffins this weekend. We're talking with Molly Hartnett and Kelsey Fields of Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. So over the weekend, Janie Green also picked up three more career blocks. She is two behind the Northwest all-time record, can break the record, have it all by herself with three more block shots this season or next. For you two, just putting aside the team goals, because, of course, that comes first, but is there an individual mark, or is there something that kind of goes to your mind of, like, I'd like to be top 10 all-time at Northwest in blank?
Okay, for me, I think it would be rebounds. I don't know, like, in a single game or just career, but just having lots of rebounds.
I would say assists. I like passing better than scoring, so.
Hey, and you both are pretty good at that, too. Not that you're counting and not that you care. But to this point in your career, Molly, 179 assists, just 254 back of 10th all-time at Northwest. So that one definitely well within reach within the next year and a half for you. Then Kelsey, 303 career rebounds, 663 is 10th all-time at Northwest. I feel like these are pretty attainable goals. You guys picked the right ones you're going for, right?
Of course.
All right, Bearcats and Griffins coming up this weekend. Last one for you. When you're taking on a rival and Coach Myers trying to get you guys fired up, does he ever harken back to his playing days? Does he ever say, you know, back in 2005 when I played the Griffins?
No.
Never?
I've never heard that.
Uh-uh.
No.
Never war stories from Coach Meyer?
No.
I think he needs to break some out.
He should.
Yeah.
He should.
That'd be enjoyable.
And ask him about in Warrensburg, I feel like he went off one time, knocked down a lot of threes at the multi. He's got some stories he needs to share with you guys.
Of course, he does.
Molly, Kelsey, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Molly Hartnett and Kelsey Fields of Northwest Missouri State Women's Basketball joining us. We'll take a break. Back with more on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarylevilleDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, again broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Time to talk indoor track and field as Brandon Masters is joining us, along with Tiffany Huey, sprinter for the Northwest team. And, Brandon, first of all, we were talking a little bit over on the break there about how with a sport such as indoor track and field where you kind of cross over semesters and your season starts in December, then all of a sudden you have to kind of put on the brakes for a little bit and then kind of get things rolling again here in January. How tough is that on you as a coach to try to ensure that everyone kind of keeps up the momentum that they were able to gather going into that opening meet?
Yeah, the hard part is that we're so good in the fall. We've been training for, you know, 12 to 14 weeks depending on the timeline. And, you know, the kids are really good at that point and fit and fast and ready to roll. And that's why we love that December meet where we can kind of see where we stand and how good we are or how bad we are. And so we can look at winter break and then decide, you know, how hard we train. The problem is when, you know, we let the kids go home for 4 or 5 weeks, and you know, we don't bring them back too early. They will be coming back late this week, and so we'll kind of see what we have to go. But the hard part is our championship for indoors is only 7 weeks away. And so it's really difficult if the kids had not done a good job over break. Running's difficult, right? I mean, we got to get into an indoor facility, because if you're running outdoors, especially all winter break, this winter break we had some really terrible cold spells. And so it's very difficult to keep up that training, certainly harder when you're outside of Hughes Fieldhouse. You know, at Hughes, it's always perfect, so I wish everybody would just come back and stay.
Right. I think, too, the challenge is when each of your athletes goes home to a different place where their facilities might be limited, or others might have a little bit better situation where they go, where it's kind of uneven, where you really don't know exactly what type of training that they can do, even if they wanted to do the best training that they could.
Right, and so the training that I send out to the kids every week has many options available. Obviously, they know what I'm looking for, but when you're trying to do a program that you would normally do in Hughes Fieldhouse and you're running down the hallways of your high school, you know, because you have an in with your coach, you know, we have some kids doing that. You know, I'll take that over being outside every day. You know, we've had a lot of guys and gals that, you know, I've talked to about modifying programming because they were outside. You know, they're working, and then they go to the track, and it's dark and cold, and it's never going to have the perfect practice like you would at Hughes.
Now, one of the persons who says that break has been a little too short here is Tiffany Huey, who kind of disagreed with you there during the break, that she'd like a little bit more time here. Tiffany, just kind of talk about your reasons for wanting a little bit longer Christmas break here.
Well, I really do like staying here down for break because, you know, I just have to train. I don't have to worry about classes. I just wake up, I sleep, I eat, I go to run. You know, it's really nice to just be able to focus on training and getting stronger and gearing up for the coming up season. So,
and I would imagine, Brandon, you liked the fact that Tiffany was here and you could kind of keep tabs on what she was doing.
Yeah, you know, Tiffany's a little bit different because she went home and had her break at home for a little bit. But being an upperclassman and having a, you know, apartment on here in Maryville, it's a lot easier. And it's one of the best times of year for athletes that stay. You know, it's really easy. I love it because I'm coaching, you know, maybe 10 or 12 people over break, and their practices are all optional, you know, over break. But when I have 10 or 12, I can really kind of dive in and do a little bit more one-on-one stuff, and that's exciting. You know, come Friday, we're not going to have 10 or 12. You know, we're talking, you know, 40. That's a lot harder to try to give everybody the attention they need. So in Tiffany, she disagrees because she's the athlete, and I love when she's here and working directly with me because I know what she's doing. On the other side, the anxiety of what are the other 30 doing? You know, that's the hard part.
I would imagine when you look at the first meet we had back in December, the Mel Church Invitational, that overall you had to feel pretty good about what you saw out of your team at that particular meet.
Yeah, it was exciting. We actually we had about 12 or so people not get to compete that we hoped to compete because we got a flu bug that went around. It was crazy. So we wish we had a few more people that we had data on. But the people that did run ran really well. We had a lot of great performances. Tiffany, obviously, one of those, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, across the board, we had a lot of personal bests, some school records. You know, some national qualifiers, and it was a lot of fun. We performed at a high level, and I thought we would. We had the data showed that we were pretty good, and you know, when the gun goes off, there's always another level, and Tiffany is one that took it to a huge level. It was an amazing weekend for her.
Yeah, you look at that first place finish in the 400, a 54.2 second time there, and a great time there just nationally as well. And then second place finish in the 200 at 24.56 seconds.
Yeah, I think what Tiffany did was extraordinary. You know, she put a personal best up by 1.2 seconds. You know, that's okay for, you know, maybe a sophomore or something. So Tiffany's been around for a while, and she had an amazing experience last year. She finished ninth in the country in the 400 with a 55.26 to get into nationals. Well, she ran 1.2 1 second faster than that in the very first meet this year. We have high, big goals, and we've talked a lot about those goals. And she sees them in her mirror at home, and she knows what she's all about this year, and that's why it's fun to watch her. She's motivated. She has not missed a practice. She's worked her tail off, and the results speak for themselves with big PRs.
And Tiffany just kind of talked about that particular performance and the hard work that you went through the off season to be able to where you can make that type of performance in that meet.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Just trusting in my coach for 3 years, like it's been a long time coming. I'm really excited to see what else I can do. And then, you know, I want to go out and win the 400 in conference. I want to be able to say I can win a national championship in the 400. So I'm just going to keep working hard.
Is there anything in particular that you've done or added to your workout routine to be able to put that kind of mark up?
I don't know that I've really added anything, just making the workouts harder, you know, just staying consistent a lot, doing everything right, even off the track, you know, eating right, sleeping, recovering, all those things are really important too.
And, of course, the second place finish in the 200 as well. And when you look at the events you compete in, any particular event that you enjoy more than others, or you enjoy all of them there?
I do like all of them, but I think that I'm really excited to run the 4x4. I think that's going to be really fun. We're going to, you know, blow up in that, so
it's exciting. Mm-hmm. That 4x4 group is really exciting, and it's a good problem to have when you have eight ladies that could be on it, you know. So for Tiffany, to her point, what Tiffany has done is she has bought into the program, the confidence level that she has now, not only with me and the program, but with herself. That's where it's changed. And she talked about consistency. There's times when I'm saying, hey, today is a day to be greedy. Let's take as much as we can go. If the program isn't enough, then you come tell me. And we had the same thing with Heba back in a couple of years ago. Heba was to a point where she had to come to me, Masters, that's not it. I know you want an 8 out of 10 today. That's not an 8 out of 10. I'm at like 6.5, 7 out of 10. I need more. And so we'll work together to hit another rep or two and try to hit the goal of the day, what energy system we're looking to train that day. And that's where she knows the system inside and out, upside down, because of our time together over the last 3 years. But she is now being greedy and taking what she needs on a daily basis and having that consistency of high level practices.
You know, Tiffany, another thing to talk about when you talk about that 4x4 and how much you enjoy running that, how much of a factor too is that you've got some teammates out there, you're trying to do something together there, as opposed to maybe some of the individual races where it's all up to you, but the team aspect of track and field really comes out into something like the 4x4 meter.
Yeah, we always joke that, like, when you have the baton in your hand, you're going to run a lot faster. You know, when you have to run for your teammates, you're just going to do that much better.
And we see that all the time. You know, so many people, the splits are always faster than their open time. And normally I'm talking to kids and saying, hey, you know, I know what you can run with a baton in your hand. You know, go ahead and do it for yourself, too. Just dig deep and try to get there. And it takes time. You know, Tiffany's one of those that had splits that were faster than her open, significantly faster than her open her first 2 years. And I think that's a confidence factor, you know, that you're doing it by yourself in an open event versus you have to do it for your ladies. And that's why the ladies always dig deeper, and guys, too. But the 4x4, the team, you're always going to dig deeper for your team than you will for yourself.
Also, Tiffany, what are some of the differences in strategy running a 400 as opposed to a 200? I imagine you have to go into it with a completely different mindset there.
I feel like running a 200, you know, you just get out hard and you run hard the whole way. It's 100%. 400, for me, I run it a little more relaxed. It's very, like, controlled, and then big finish at the end. But I feel like overall, 400 is a way more controlled race. A 200 is just, you know, deep. It's like running 100 meters, but yeah. Longer.
Yeah, we practice that. You know, a lot of our reps are race rep stuff, where we segment the 400 down, and so she's comfortable with that because we do break it out. You know, the first 8 seconds is different than the next 8 seconds is different than the following 10. So, you know, if you learn to run the hard first 6-8 seconds really hard, and then understand how to cruise without letting off the gas too much and stay in that relaxed positioning that she's talking about, that's the next 100, 120 meters. So, and then we kick the close to finish. And so she understands the race, and you break down the race. It's not just running, even the 100 or 60 even. We're breaking it down three or four different phases. And so each one of these events has a strategy to run well. And you gotta work to your energy systems, what you're best at. Tiffany is not the best. She's not going to be running any 60-meter races anytime soon. She's not. That's not her thing. But what she can do is stay in the game long enough to let her fitness take over. And it's similar to Heba. Heba was not fast in the 100 or the 60, but she could win a national title in the 200. And that's a similar type of thing with Tiffany, is she's not going to run any 60 or 100s, but she's going to be hard to beat in that 200 late and that 400 for sure.
Again, we are talking track and field with Brandon Masters, the head track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State, along with sprinter Tiffany Huey. And again, you open things up with the Mel Churchma Invitational at Bearcat, or rather at the Hughes Fieldhouse. And now this time going on the road here in a couple weeks up to Lincoln, Nebraska to compete in an event hosted by UNO.
Yeah, that'll be a fun competition. We're not taking a big group. We'll just kind of say, well, the kids will come back on Friday, and we'll have Friday and Saturday practice, and I'll see who gets to go based on how well they did over break. But I'd like to take a lot of those national championship level kids, because UNL has a 200 bank. We have a 300 flat track at Hughes, and the 200 bank is important for us because national championships are held in Virginia Beach, and it's a 200 bank track. So we have to run on it a couple times, really get a good feel for that. And in Tiffany's case, you know, we have to run that first 200 meters and then cut the cone. Everybody cuts in out of their lanes, and so it's important to we call it win the cone. We want to be in first. The correct way, we want to be in first leading her race in the 400. So it's an important learning aspect of a 200 bank versus that 300 flat.
And Tiffany, what are the biggest differences that you find in the two types of tracks that we would run on?
Oh, so I personally like running on a 300. It's very similar to running outdoor. A 200 is very, it's a lot tighter.
Yeah, not only being tighter radius on the curves, but you know, learning how to run that bank where you have to climb it. Let's say you're in lane 5 or 6, you're actually coming. Yeah, you're tilted. You got to learn how, like a race car, right? You got to learn how to drive the corner. But that second curve, you're actually running uphill before you get a run downhill. So it is a unique learning, a lot of difference versus that 300 flat where we're so blessed to have Hughes Fieldhouse and that we can run and be very good on a 300 flat. Now, Nationals is not on a 300 flat this year, so we got to understand that we've got to learn how to run our races correctly on that 200 bank. And that's the main reason to go to UNL. And Washburn has a 200 bank as well. So we'll be going to those two venues to try to learn how to run on a bank versus that 300 flat.
Then after you get done with the event at UNL, then back here for another event, the Northwest Open coming up down the line.
Yeah, that's another nice meet where we'll have a few more than at the Mel Churchma Classic. In December, we'll have, 15, 20 teams, somewhere around that. So that'll be a nice meet to kind of, for the rest of the team who doesn't go to UNL, they'll be able to open up there. And, it's nice to open up at home. We're comfortable there. We train there year-round. We'll have several weeks of training, in before we have to open up the rest of the team. So, again, we always run well at home. We like the Northwest Open because it's still a pretty chill meet. It's not huge. And the Bearcat is a monster. We had 1,500 student-athletes at that meet, 50-some teams last year. And so that's a big one where we want to really run fast and light it up. So that's February 2nd, 3rd, and 4th this year. So nice meet to open up pretty relaxed in January 21st, and then 2 weeks, a big one.
Now, when you look at the Hughes Fieldhouse, we've talked a little bit about this in the past too, but previous years, every indoor meet had to be on the road because you just didn't have the field house here. Now, with an opportunity to host a few meets, from a budget standpoint, does that make things a little bit better for track and field budget where you're at home and don't have to worry about traveling so much? And then you bring some other teams in here.
Well, certainly we make money off of that that helps our budget, right? We don't have an outdoor meet without hosting big indoor meets. We don't have a schedule that we have to stay really close to home to be able to have an outdoor. So having those indoor meets, one, the kids get to sleep in their own bed. Two, they get a run on a track that they practice on every day. Very good comfort. We get to run in front of our peers. and that's exciting too. But as a coach, you know, I have to set it up. We have to run it. We invite teams. We have to do all the entries, all the things. I'd rather go on the road. It's a lot easier for us coaches, and we get a coach. So when we host a big meet, especially like the Bearcat, I'm hoping that I get a coach. You know, a lot of times I'm fixing things, I'm putting out fires, I'm trying to find batteries for the lasers. There's all sorts of different things that come up, you know, that make it very difficult when we host. But it is worth it for the kids, and it's worth it for our budget.
And, Tiffany, as you look at what you're doing here at Northwest Missouri State, you've been coming through a program through COVID and everything else here. Just come from Lee Summit, Missouri. We'll just talk a little bit about coming to Northwest overall as an athlete and also as a student, and just the experiences that you've had overall at Northwest.
Yeah, so coming into Northwest, I really liked how homey it was. I immediately got along with the team really great. I'm really proud of what I've been able to do in the past few years because I've had setbacks before. You know, I lost a whole outdoor season, but, you know, I always have to just keep getting up, persevere, and I'm glad that I did because, you know, I'm starting to finally see a lot of, you know, successful things happening for me and this team. I think that this team is going to be really great this year. So, yeah.
It's exciting. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier, Tiffany and I, and we were talking about her high school, and she didn't have those big numbers. You know, Tiffany had run 58 low, something like that, out of high school. She was not not even that fast when I was recruiting you. That was your senior year. So she was not a big-level recruit for me, and to see what she's done is fantastic. And she's PR'd in the 400 by over 4 seconds. That's pretty amazing, especially when you do it indoor. You know, outdoor, it's always easier to run faster. So we're really excited about, you know, I'm just so proud of Tiffany and what she's done. And she's been a person from the beginning that has believed in me and the program and just works. She comes and we have a great relationship, and we have goals together to go get. And those goals are, you know, very, very lofty this year, and they should be. And that's coming from a girl that had a really tiny little scholarship coming in, but that's changed a lot, and she's changed a lot. It's been a lot of fun coaching her. I really enjoyed the last few years with
her. What were some of the things you saw in Tiffany when you were on the recruiting trail and took a look at her that you thought that maybe down the line here, this is an athlete that could really do some big things at Northwest?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was recruiting her brother. You know, funny how that kind of came along. And, you know, she came with a visit, both of them, and she's the one that really was like into the recruiting trip and had lots of great questions, and so it ended up that I ended up recruiting Tiffany, you know, ongoing, and so what I saw was on paper for her and her progression through her high school career. She didn't start off with some crazy big numbers. It was just always just a little better every single year. I obviously. I loved Tiffany's work ethic in the classroom, and that's a big deal for us. We're very much an academic team, and that I'm very proud of our GPAs and proud of our kids that you know, academic All-Americans and such. And so I knew that she could be pretty good here if we just had time. When Tiffany came in, we were actually laughing a little bit at last week, and she showed me her team picture each of the 4 years, and it is hilarious how much she has grown and developed and changed. And she's just like this tiny little girl coming in as a freshman, and now, I mean, just a strong, powerful, fast woman. It's just amazing the change that she's made, and you know, that's just belief in the system. And many times in the fall of her freshman year, I was like, man, I hope Tiffany doesn't quit, because it was real hard for a while. I know. We have a couple of stories about, oh, my goodness, is she going to make it? And she's bought in and done a killer job in the weight room, but also in every rep that she's done. She's getting better and better every year.
Tiffany, now you talked a bit about work in the classroom. Just tell us a little bit about your studies academically, what you hope to do once you leave Northwest.
Yeah, so I major in digital media. So I do a lot of graphic design work and then a bit of computer science classes here and there. So hoping after this that I, you know, land a graphic design job somewhere or doing illustration or something like that.
And as far as out of class, and that's also when you get off the track, I know there's a whole lot of time that you have to spend training and as well as working the classroom, but what do you like to do to relax?
I like to sleep.
Good answer. I love that.
Every athlete likes to take a nap.
Yes, I love
that. Or, you know, watching Netflix with friends, hanging out with friends, drawing.
Yeah. That's cool.
All right. Well, sounds great. And, again, it's been great to have both of you on the program here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, that's the head coach of the Northwest Track and Field Program, Brandon Masters, along with sprinter Tiffany Huey. We'll be back, and we've got more coming up on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We continue on and talking men's basketball now as Isaiah Jackson joining us, a 6'2 sophomore out of Independence, Missouri and William Chrisman High School. And Isaiah, we were talking a little bit during the break. Had a pretty physical one last night. Roger State came in. Of course, they've been known since they've joined them, IAA, that they're one of the more physical teams in the conference. And it looked like that was the case again last night.
Yeah, they're very strong. They were very strong inside and they had some strong guards, but we love those type of games because it brings the best out of us, and you know we look forward to it.
It really seems like the more physical the opponents are, the better you guys embrace it. Even though sometimes it might be a size situation where they've got a couple of guys that kind of match up with a little bit more maybe beef out there, I think, for lack of a better word. But it doesn't matter what the size is. You guys seem to just really enjoy the challenge of a physical game.
Yeah, definitely. We get that a lot. We get that intensity, I think, a lot from coach, and he gets very hyped and we get into it, and it really does bring the best out of us, like you said, and it's just really fun.
And of course Roger State came into that game with an 8-4 record, I believe, and of course left at 8-5 and now 4-3 in the conference, so they've had some success early in the season. It seemed like they've been a team that for the most part, game in and game out, whether they've won or lost, have been games that have gone down to the wire for them, and coming off a 1-1 over Missouri Western before they came in. But after falling behind 7-0 last night, you guys kind of got some things going, and once again, never looked back, and turned into not necessarily a huge blowout, but one where you guys, the outcome wasn't in doubt the last 5 minutes or so of the game.
Yeah, we know we're going to get everybody's best shot, especially at the beginning of the game. A lot of teams are front runners, and Roger State is really good. And we got to treat every team like they're the best team. So, and coming in, playing them, and just kind of getting down early. Kind of, we did that against the last game too, but just kind of bringing the energy, I think, that defensive energy that just to get our offense rolling and just kind of just playing with a passion. I think that's what we need to do.
You know, you talk about that, and Coach McCollum, after the win over Northeastern State Saturday, I think was probably as pleased with the overall effort of both offense and defense in that matchup, and once you got things rolling there early in that game, as he had been in any game up to this point in the season.
He's just kind of the same approach that he brings. Pre-game speeches, they really get us going, and I think that a lot of guys just kind of take that and just kind of put it out there on the floor. And I think we got to start a little bit better, and I think that we finish really well, especially when we're hitting shots. You got guys that are shooting like above 40% from three. I know I got shooters all around me, so just fun kicking out and seeing it go in and just kind of getting the crowd into it too. That was one of our main things last night. We're just trying to get the crowd into it. We're talking at halftime, just a little bit quieter than usual, so just kind of getting them going, knowing that really can fuel us too.
And I think that is a huge help for when you've got a crowd at Bearcat Arena, and they've been drawing very well, but sometimes a little bit quieter. But of course, break time, you don't have as many students there, and that makes a little bit of difference in the atmosphere around the arena.
Definitely. When you can feed off of the energy now, just from the lack of people that are not here now, I mean, whenever it really starts to fill up later in the season, I think we could really benefit from that.
Well, and you talked about being surrounded by some pretty good three-point shooters. You stepped up and knocked down another big one last night. I thought that was at a key point in the ball game there early in that ball game, where it kind of made a little bit of a statement there that they had to watch everybody out on the floor.
Yeah, just kind of doing something different, giving them different looks. And I know that teams are scouting me a little differently, so just kind of knocking that shot down kind of opened up my game a lot to drive and then kick out. Like I had to Luke Waters in the corner and Wes a few times, so it's really whatever the team needs, and so I'm trying to provide that energy as much as possible.
You know, we talked earlier on the show about a stat that Colin McDonough, the sports information director, put out where I think, three of the top five players in the MIAA offensively and field goal shooting percentage wear Bearcat uniforms here. So that is just something that's unreal. And again, in particular, it's not a big, tall inside guy that's doing that, where that takes maybe 3-foot jumpers all day long, but it's guys, guards that's sat out there and put up some difficult shots and they're going down.
Yeah, that's... We really do take a lot of good shots. Sometimes we have to just create offense and kind of create our own shots. But I think for the most part, we have guys that are really smart and take the best shots and get each other open. And I know that me and Bennett DB, we try to get others open. That's kind of our games. That's how we play. We're just trying to be playmakers and just getting that idea from Mac. Just knowing that we're the tone setters and we can get other people going.
As a player who likes to distribute the ball to other players and set them up for some good shots, what are some of the keys to, as you said, to trying to get some of those other guys open? What are some of the keys from your standpoint of making sure that you find a guy that's open there?
Just talking to them in a huddle, timeout or a halftime, just kind of talking to them, knowing that they just need to keep shooting because eventually it'll go in, and once you start hitting one, you see one going in. Just kind of talking just to the screen and rolls, knowing what people like to do, pop, roll. So it's kind of personnel-wise, and then knowing that I'm going to pass you the ball, so just be ready. So.
Now, also another thing that I know in talking with you in the past that you really pride yourself on is on the defensive side and just being somebody that makes some things happen defensively. And how much fun is that for you to just go out there and frustrate your opponents that way?
It's always fun. Kind of just seeing... just kind of seeing and hearing other teams kind of complaining and them kind of being frustrated and bickering at each other. That's the best part that you kind of look for whenever you're a defender. And I pride myself on that, and I get that confidence from my teammates, my coaches. So knowing that I'm going to probably go out there and guard their top scorer that averages the most, and I love that.
What are some of the tells that you get from an opponent that you know that you've kind of got inside their head just a little bit? Is it something physical or something that they might say out on the floor to you during a game?
Probably just more physical. Sometimes people don't really say much, but just kind of knowing and seeing their body language and just kind of just moping around is knowing that I'm guarding you and I'm going to be guarding you the whole game. And the other head coaches too, the opposing head coaches too, just kind of talking to the refs about how I'm playing defense on my team, and we're pretty physical and we love it.
How much fun is it when you know you've definitely got inside somebody's head there?
Well, it's definitely fun. You just take them out the game, and then that's when you really start to get rolling too on the offensive side, because then them heads not straight and you can just play the way that you know how to play. Just play free and loose, so it's fun.
Yeah, I think you go back to that game Saturday with Northeastern State when you were down by 7 early and then had that 20-0 run to really take control of that particular matchup. And I think a lot of that just stemmed from the type of defense you guys were playing at that particular point that then fed into some easy buckets at the other end.
Yeah, that's where it starts. We have to apply that pressure early. Yeah, we just kind of dug ourselves a hole, and we know we can get out of it. We're never out of a game, especially looking back a few years past at Northern State. We just know we have that experience, and we're never out of game. And when we really lock in, that we know we can do some special things.
Well, you look ahead. You've got a little bit of time off this week now after having three games here in the past week coming back from the Christmas break. A pretty big one from the standpoint of Missouri Western, a rival that seems like those games always bring out the best in both teams. And then not only that, but Missouri Western, a very good team that's dropped a couple of heartbreakers in this past week to Northeastern State and Rogers. So, you know, they're going to be ready to go on Saturday. But how much fun is that Missouri Western matchup every year?
It's definitely fun, you know, playing a school that's 35, 40 minutes away. It's a rival. Obviously, it's a conference game. You got to treat it like they're one of the best teams. You know they're going to come out and probably shoot a ridiculous high percentage from the field. You never know. That's kind of how it goes against us. But we got to be ready, and we got to fight through adversity and just play.
You know, you talk about being a rivalry, but it's a rivalry too that even dating back well many years before you've come into the program, this Bearcat team has had a lot of success against Missouri Western the last really for the most part the last decade or so since Coach McCollum has taken over as head coach. So it's a game. While it's a rival, you guys seem to game in, game out to find a way to pull out wins, and sometimes pretty big wins. But even in the close matchups, it just seems like you guys found a way to make some big plays against Missouri Western.
Yep, I remember seeing a few games at Missouri Western when I came up, watched a few games. I just know it's packed and it's fun, it's live, especially at Missouri Western. It's always fun just watching the game and the environment, being in a hostile environment, knowing that sometimes the majority of the fans is from here down in Western. So we have a great support system. I know that we can accomplish a lot with the support of the community. So,
how much fun is it for you too when you come out and you get onto the floor down at St. Joseph and you look around and you see again, like you say, more green and white there than black and gold in the stands when it's their court? Even how much fun is that for you?
It's really fun because St. Joe's about an hour away, so I know a lot of family back home for me would be there. Are there a lot of times the past few years they have been, and it's really fun when you're in your hostile environment, but at the same time you have probably the majority of the fans there, just knowing that we can really get things done with them behind our backs.
Now, you've been talking about being about an hour away from St. Joseph. Of course, then that makes it about 90 minutes or so away from Maryville, coming in from Independence, Missouri. How much of a role did that play in where you wanted to go into college?
I've always talked about it. I didn't really care how far or close I wanted to play, but this just happened to be one of the best, probably the best Division II program in the nation. So it's right here in my backyard, and it's really a perfect spot. It's not too far, too close to home. So I think it's a perfect distance.
And again, we're talking with Isaiah Jackson from the Northwest men's basketball team, and not only you've had an opportunity to play in a lot of big games in your career at Northwest, and it looks like probably a lot more big games to go here in the next couple of years for you as well, but how much fun has it been for you too to know that every year you're going to be playing in some of the biggest games in Division II basketball every year?
It's really fun. There's not really a lot of pressure, I think. It's just kind of doing what you've known, what you worked on, all the work that you put in. You just come in here and you have a lot of trust from your teammates, your coaches, and you just have fun. You do the things that you love doing with the people that you love. And really just basketball just takes me a lot of places, and I love it. And I want to keep going.
And when you look at your role this year, I know every year the makeup of the team is a little bit different. Obviously, you didn't lose very much from last year's team, although the player you did lose, Trevor Hudgens, is a pretty big player and having a lot of success this year in the G League and the NBA. But, again, each team's a little bit different. Just talk about your role this year and how that's changed from past years.
It's changed a little bit. It's changed from kind of being that playmaker that Trav was last year for us, and it's kind of getting guys going. I think as a leadership standpoint, this is my third year now. It's kind of flying by, but really just the roles have changed a lot, I think, leadership-wise. But I think on the court I've been the same type of player, just doing what the team needs, shooting a little bit more, and that'll keep continuing to get better and better. Defensively, that never changes, so I think that's probably the main piece.
Do you get a chance to hear from Trevor from time to time? I know he's probably pretty busy with what he's doing, but is he keeping in touch with you guys?
Yeah, he's playing right now, and I think we talk every day. So, I mean, he's really in touch with us. He's talking about he can't wait to come back here and just hang out with us. So we know that he misses being around us and being in Maryville, so we always wish him the best, and we always talk about him playing and who he's playing with, and we just kind of think he's cool in the situation that he's in right now.
Tell you what, he goes to another level, and he hasn't missed a beat at that level.
I know, it's unreal, and it's crazy how he was under-recruited coming out of high school like that, but I think the development here was probably the biggest thing and kind of pushed him to where he's at now. So, and if, that's why I think this program is that special, because go to any other program, he might not be the same type of player, and the development might not have been the same, but I mean, he works hard and he deserves it.
Well, Isaiah, it's good to have you with us on the program again here today, and we look forward to watching the rest of the season, in particular the next game coming up down to St. Joe with Missouri Western.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Isaiah Jackson with us on the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back to have more as we wrap things up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers has been supporting farmers in Northwest Missouri since 1928 by providing grain merchandising, tire, and agronomy services. More information is at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV Maryville KRNW Chillicothe Coaches Show. As we wrap up our program from Pizza Ranch for today, we'll be back again next week with more from the Bearcat coaches at the Northwest Athletic Department. Don't forget, we've got Bearcat basketball coming up on Saturday. Northwest and Missouri Western, 1:30 tip-off for the women, 3:30 for the men from Bearcat Arena. And we'll be on the air at 1 o'clock with our pregame for the women. Again, that's 1:30 and 3:30 this upcoming Saturday with Bearcat basketball. But thanks to Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Pizza Ranch.